Live. This is Michael Angley live. Today is Saturday. Man, where is the time gone? It's Memorial Day weekend. People are looking out for terrorist attacks. People are looking out for, I don't know. I think people are looking out for anything. I think that people are scared. And when they're scared, that they don't want to go out. They don't want to do things. I got friends who are like, I don't want to go to a concert now. I'm afraid. I don't want to go to a movie theater. I'm afraid. I'm like, you know what? You can't be afraid to live your life, you know, and then you can easily be sitting in that movie theater and some guy could slip out because he doesn't like the popcorn and shoot 9 people and you could be one of them. You can't hedge your life on what ifs and what ifs and what ifs. You just got to know that we have decent security here in the United States. They are more responsive than they've ever been, which is saying a lot, you know what I mean? And also, and you look at security around the world, don't compare the U.S. to the U.K. You know, the U.K. and France and countries in Europe, they're very different. We're much more uptight here in the United States because we have a lot more violence and gang violence and stuff, you know. So I think that, you know, since it does happen, we are aware. You know, you can't walk down the street in New York City in the middle of the night and not look behind you if someone passes you. You know, you have to be a little bit suspicious, a little suspect, but you can't think that, you know, something's going to happen like that just because it did. You know what I mean? And the terrorists are winning the war. They're winning the war because they do these attacks once in a while. It scares the crap out of people. It disrupts people's lives. Then they don't want to go out, you know? And, yeah, if they do this enough, I think that that in of itself will really, really, really mess up a lot of large venues, for instance. Or those large venues are going to have to invest heavily in security. And they do make money when they have these shows. They make a lot of profit. So they can take some of that profit and buy better security. Hell, you can hire Blackwater, which is a great security company, and then they can surround the joint, you know, and you'll feel somewhat safe. But can you ever be safe? Because if somebody wants to get you, they're going to try to get you, and you're going to try to stop them. This is like my whole world, you know, and I went to war college, and I've done a lot of things where, you know, I was trained to think a certain way. You know, especially in an analyst situation and analyzing security, you know, and analyzing data. You have to think like the terrorist. You have to think like the criminal. You have to think like, how could I get these guys? How could I wreak havoc on this town, this state, this country? How could I go out there and just cause so much disruption that I actually disrupt the economy? I actually disrupt people's lives. People are afraid to go out. People aren't going to work. Those businesses aren't going to make money. People aren't going to go out. They're not going to spend. Those businesses aren't going to make money. People are going to be hermits living in their home, you know? And, yeah, sure, you can buy groceries online and have them delivered to your house. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do if you want to be a hermit and be afraid to go out. But ISIS gave a message for the Memorial Day weekend and on. In fact, for the beginning of Ramadan, which started today, right? And this is the Muslim holiday. This is the big holiday. And they call for attacks on innocent people in their homes, in their towns, in their small towns, the big cities, you know, specific attacks on, like, the Vegas Strip. Vegas beefed up security, you know. Can you catch somebody all the time? Yeah, no, you can't. You know, and you know, some of these guys are primitives, you know. They barely even know what they do. And you know, these suicide bombers, they just know they're going to walk into a place. It's very easy to make the bombs that they're making. You don't need sophistication to make these bombs. You just need some basic instruction, right? And they can self-detonate themselves, the bomb, and the people around them, you know? And when you look at the Paris attacks, in terms of, this is going to sound cold, right? But this is the reality of intelligence in the world of information gathering. And also, this is security on governmental security at top level. And when you look at the Paris attacks that happened, the truck attack killed a lot of people. There was one guy with one truck who killed over 80 people in Nice, right? When you look at the other guys, the armed fighters who went into the theater, they had a pretty big body count, but not for the amount of people and not for the amount of armament that they had. It was relatively low. So that's interesting in of itself. And these aren't highly trained fighters. There are fighters that are in the desert, and now they're trying to leave, you know, Syria. They're trying to get out of the theater because they got the word to leave and attack people throughout the world. These are hardened fighters. Even though I've seen video of these hardened fighters, and they're still not like, you know, the United States military or the Russian military, you know, people who are hard trained fighters. And the U.S. military has the added advantage of have been at war. We've been at war for a long time. We've been at war in Iraq. We've been at war in Afghanistan and other places, you know. So we have a whole different type of military. Russia, not so much. They've just gotten into it in Syria, and then they're not even like in theater in war. What they're doing is more of like what we're doing in the bombing and all that, right? So the reality is these aren't hardened fighters. The hardened fighters are trying to make their way out, which a travel ban works for that, you know. But if you don't have one in place, you don't know who's coming and going. You tighten the border, that works for that. If the border's loose, you never know who's coming over. And then also people pay. You know, if these are well-funded terrorists and you want to get people in the United States, you know, you can't think that these guys are going to be, you know, coming over the Rio Grande. You got to think that these guys will pay $50,000, $60,000 to somebody, to one of those mules, you know, or coyotes they're called, to bring them into the U.S. And they're not going to come into the U.S. over the Mexican border or whatever. They're going to come in a whole different way. They might be on a ship. They might be on a boat. They could be on a private plane. You don't know. And that's the problem. And then when you have these networks and these cells, what they're uncovering now in England is a large cell, right? The guy who blew him up, now they got his father, they got his brother, they got his family, they got the people. They're shutting down neighborhoods. They've arrested over 20 people so far, and more and more and more every day. But at least they're doing it. At least they're doing it. I am told that there's over 3,600 jihadis in the UK, plus maybe 25,000 that have the potential that showed an interest in this. This is intelligence that's collected in the UK. But they know people that have the ability to do it. That's frightening, because if they get the call and they really decide to do it, and they decide that this is going to be their last, either the end of their life, or they're going to be the sniper in the group. They're going to be the one setting fires. They're going to be the one who's doing terrible things that you can't catch. They're going to be a ghost. A ghost is somebody who goes into a situation that you cannot catch. It is an agent who goes in, who's out, and you didn't even know that they were there, and then they wreak havoc. And then that's the most difficult guerrilla fighter to conquer, you know. And to conquer that, you need word of mouth, you need money, reward money. You need people to turn them in, people who are close to them. If they are a network and they are a cell and they are a group of people together, and then that's the group that they're functioning in with themselves, very hard to catch a bogey like that. Very difficult, you know. So you beef up security, you make people extra aware. Let me tell you, Manchester, at that tunnel, when those kids were coming out, if they had security there, the guy would have never gotten in. He might have blown himself up out there somewhere, and you disperse the crowd. If you go to an American concert, it's usually you come out, you know, there's police everywhere, and then you get cordoned off over here, over there, and then kind of, you know, dispersed. If you look at Times Square, for instance, for New Year's Eve, they had everybody set up in kill zones. That's what the police call them. That's what snipers call them anyway. They call them a kill zone. A kill zone is a small area that you put a whole bunch of people. If something happens in that zone, you know you can wipe it out within seconds. So that's the frightening reality behind the security, you know? And that security may not be there to keep you so secure. You know, it's going to be there to stop the situation. That's the deal, you know? So, yeah, we need good border security. Yeah, we need to know who's coming in this country. But we don't need to piss people who are already here. We don't need to make the Muslims here feel like they're under the gun, you know? Because not all of them feel like this. And I have a lot of friends friends who are Muslims, and they listen to me. Oh, man, and I get really angry when it comes to Islam because I feel like it's a cult religion. But yet, I can't tell these guys, hey, you know, I don't believe in what you believe in, so you should stop. You know what I mean? I can only say I don't defend or support anything that harms other people, you know, including when they say, well, America's dropped bombs on people. Yeah, you know what? I agree. But America's not a religion. America's a country. And we wouldn't be in those places if it wasn't for these Muslims trying to kill each other, you know, and we're trying to stop that from happening, right? So look at Ireland, a similar situation where the Catholics and the Protestants were killing each other. You know, who stepped in? England. And then Ireland resented the hell out of that. They still resent the hell out of that. And you probably shouldn't go to a Belfast pub right now and toast the Queen, because people still feel that, you know? And when it comes to beliefs, whether it's a political belief or a religious belief, man, it is a hard thing to change in someone, to deprogram them. So if someone's not doing something destructive, I leave them alone. You know, if they only have enough knowledge to absorb one little itty bitty something, that's cool. I get it. I'm not going to try to change that. That's why I don't argue with people on Facebook. That's why when people start arguing with me, or they try to, they can't, because I don't support either side. So I think both sides are equally as polluted. I can't convince you that your religion is messed up or your political beliefs are messed up. I can only say it has nothing to do with virtue. And if you're not cultivating virtue, you're not living your life to your full potential. You know, if you're getting involved, and I see it all day long on Facebook, I'm like, I was shaking my head today looking at that. People are just arguing with each other nonstop, man, blah, 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 blah. You know, Bush and this and Trump and this and Hillary Clinton, Obama and Bill Clinton, and, you know, they're going back in time in politics about Nixon. Hillary Clinton saying that Nixon was impeached. Nixon was never impeached. Nixon was going to be impeached. He resigned. Her husband was impeached, though, for lying. For a whole bunch of stuff, as a matter of fact. But he wasn't found guilty. But he did besmirch the White House by having oral sex with a young girl, 23-year-old woman. I don't know. You know what? I think there's something wrong with all of that. And a lot of people are like, well, that, you know, that's what men do. I mean, a lot of guys will justify it and say that. And I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, if you love somebody, you're married to somebody. Granted, he's with Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? That's like, gotta be like sleeping on an iceberg, you know? And probably the last time they had sex was when Chelsea was born. And even saying the word sex with Hillary Clinton in the same sentence just turns me off completely. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? And then, yeah, I'm a guy. I think in those terms sometimes. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I hate politically correctedness. I think it's undoing what a lot of people are. You know? There's a lot of things I don't get down with, like racism, no matter what color somebody is, you know, no matter what crap they're spouting out. And just because you're black doesn't mean it's okay for you to be racist against someone who's white, because white people aren't doing anything to black people. You know, you might have your little tiny idiot, you know, groups, white supremacists, whatever. Yes, as true for black people. You know, it's about time that people got out of the savagery of looking at someone and judging them physically and moving on. Move on. What the hell difference does it make? Let me tell you something. If there was a threat from somewhere else, you'll see how fast people get together and call each other brother and have some kind of romance to fight that evil. So humans are that simple. Humans are that simple. And then when I hear Hillary Clinton come out and say, you know, I beat both Bernie and Donald Trump. That's what she said in New Yorker magazine. She beat both Bernie and Trump. Says the loser, right? Says the loser, you know? But can she ever come out and say, that's the election and that's what happened, and, you know, there's things in me that I did, it was wrong, and, you know, I should have learned from it? No, not at all. She's talking to these little select audiences that cheer her on, and then it vindicates her small-mindedness. She's a nutcase on top of that. She fits all 19 points of a psychopath, you know. So I'm going to tell you that Hillary Clinton is interfering with governmental administration by embattling Donald Trump after she ran for office and she agreed with everybody else that if she lost, she would support it, you know. You got Obama doing it. You have her doing it. You have all of the Democrats doing it. They're trying to have a coup against the current president. It is getting really ugly and uglier every day. But to hear her say that she beat Bernie, she screwed Bernie Sanders. Screwed that geezer hard to the wall. She used her money and power to get those superdelegates. She took states that Bernie won. He won the state. She got the delegates. And then the guy who was going to investigate gets killed walking home, gets shot in the back in a robbery gone wrong, even though they didn't take any money, no jewelry, no iPhone, no nothing. And the guy had a lot of money on him. So, yeah. And then I see people arguing about this stuff. And then you want to just yell at them and say, hey, here's this information. Here's all this. Here's a warehouse full of information to show you that Hillary Clinton's a liar, cheater, a thief, and an evil person. Oh, well, they don't care because Donald Trump has got little hands and he's orange and he's with the Russians, you know? Now they're going after his son-in-law. The guy's sitting down talking to Russians, you know? He had to meet with the Russians when the whole administration was setting up and he met with everybody. So, yeah, I think they're going to be harping on this until they have something else to harp on. But does it help? Does it help? You know, and then also, there's a lot to be said for having an investigation and keeping your mouth shut. Because as a private investigator, when I'm doing an investigation, I don't tell anybody anything. I don't sit there and share information with the sources that I'm investigating. I don't sit there, you know, all day long pontificating on what could be in this, that, and the other thing. I keep my mouth shut until the investigation's over and I have all my information in and I know what the hell is going on. But not this government. It's full of leaks. The leaks happened a little under Bush, a lot under Obama. Obama was flood, was a flood. And this guy, no doubt in my mind that this dude leaked the information, had it leaked to his administration, because it always favored him. It always favored his point of view. It would get into the media, get in front of people, and the media would tell it in a certain way, right? Because I could say one sentence 15 different ways, you know? So it came through the media. They cherry-picked information from a situation. This is just in now. An anonymous source says, and they have all this information, right? Wow. How frightening is that to have that condoned by a president? Because Obama did nothing to stop the leaks. He didn't even mention that there were problems. But yet, that's what happened, and they control most of the media. If they control most of the media, they control most people because people are very monkey-see-monkey-do, and then they get their opinions from these opinion-oriented shows. You know, cable media, really? Cable media? Do you think there's any news on cable media? You know, you have Fox. I never liked Fox, you know? I mean, I would stop at Bill O'Reilly sometimes and listen to him rant. Sometimes it was funny, sometimes it wasn't. They got rid of him, and their ratings dropped to third place. Third place! That's CNN's spot. Now CNN's got second place by definition. You know? Maybe get the due to MSNBC. The ratings are up at MSNBC because Bill O'Reilly's gone. And, then MSNBC's chief, Phil Griffin, taking all the credit. He just renegotiated his contract. This guy stepped in horse shit, man. He's lucky, right? He's feeling the luck. Rachel Maddow is number one. And that's got to show you what a falsehood cable news is. When a dude like Rachel Maddow could be number one. You know what I mean? Unbelievable, because they got rid of Bill O'Reilly, and the liberals wanted to, and the liberals, that's their deal, get rid of Bill O'Reilly. I've been trying to get rid of him for years on unfounded information. They was never found guilty in a court of law. He was never found guilty in any court of saying these things. And the people who launched these aggressive attacks against him, saying that he sexually harassed them, I heard some of the stuff that he allegedly said. I don't even consider any of that sexual harassment. Telling a woman that, you know, when she says she's a professor, well, wow, I never had a professor that looked like you. Called a compliment. A lot of women like that compliment. You know what I mean? But the reality is, he's gone. And now he's doing a podcast, which is, you know, podcast good for some people. The bulk of O'Reilly's audience probably isn't even internet savvy, honestly. And they want to turn a TV channel on. They're old-timers who want to watch the show. You know, even that middle group, a lot of people won't tune in. It depends, you know. And I think that more people are using internet radio now. And when I read these reports, like, about radio stations and all that, I look at a lot of ratings, and I look to see who's up and who's down. And, you know, this is United Public Radio Network, and I do an international broadcast, you know what I mean, as is everybody on this network. It's an international broadcast, and anybody who wants to listen, you can listen to you. We're on a lot of servers, and then we're in a lot of countries, over 180 countries, you know, at times anyway, depending on who's listening to you. But, like, you know, on a normal week, I have 25 people in Iran listening to me. I think that's a hoot, man. You know, 25 people in Iran, a country that definitely, you know, well, the leaders anyway wouldn't like what I have to say, man. You know what I mean? They may agree with some of it, but not all of it. And I think that they're part of the problem and not part of the solution. I think that you have just a lot of countries out there that are run by, you know, real narrow-minded, brainwashed people. There goes my 25 people in Iran. You know, narrow-minded, brainwashed people that don't understand anything about virtue. And I think that's what it is. You know, and then they look at Muhammad, and they look to the Quran. I bet I know the Quran better than they do. And the Quran that I learned was an honest Quran, you know, and I'm not a Muslim by any stretch of the imagination, but when my friend was becoming Muslim, I read the Quran to him over and over and over again for 2 years to help him, you know, and it was fun. It was always fun learning about something new. You know, I always got into stuff like that, but it's one point of view, you know, and Muhammad had one point of view, certainly. When you read the Bible, you'll find a lot of stuff that's equal when it comes to total destruction, destroying people, but Islam is a conquering religion is the problem, you know. And then you have factions of it. There's so many, it's incredible. And they all hate each other. They all fight each other. And look at the Kurds, man. They don't even have a country of their own. They got screwed out of that. Turkey basically took the land that the Kurds should have had. There's bad blood there. Turkey's out of control, you know? I mean, out of control, if you look what's going on. And there's a lot of Muslim countries that are, they're doing terrible things. And I don't hear, you know, all right, Indonesia, right? Barack Obama was raised in Indonesia, maybe even born there. You know what I mean? Depends on who you ask, or in Kenya. Depending on who you ask, it doesn't matter now. But it just goes to show you his frame of mind, right? He grows up in Indonesia. He said he himself, that's where he met the gentle religion of Islam. That's what he said, word for word, right? And that Indonesia is a model to show how Islam can work with democracy. This is what Barack Obama said. Former president of the United States of America, current worldwide troll, right? Now, Indonesia beat a couple gay guys during the week with canes, a caning it's called. They caned him each 27 times in public for having gay sex. Then, a day later, they form a police task force that specifically is going to round up gays and punish them. you would think that there's a worldwide outcry from the gay community, from Barack Obama, from all these people, especially since he grew up in Jakarta. He grew up where they're doing this. This is the gentle religion of Islam. And we've seen people of Islam throw gay people off the tops of buildings like sacks of concrete and kill them. The hypocrisy involved, when I hear Barack Obama talk, just turns my stomach. And I think that he's a monster. You know, if there's a word evil, this guy fits right in there, right? Same for Hillary Clinton. When I hear them talk, and they wrap themselves with the flag, and I know what he did when he was in there. He's the one who made ISIS possible. He's the one who fueled Iran with all this new money. And now they're building missiles like crazy. You know, if you think they're not trying to develop a nuclear warhead, you're crazy. But then I hear liberals talk, like Katy Perry. She was on a radio show, and the guy's like, you know, ask her a political question, right? Katy Perry. You're better off asking a dog what it thinks of your plaid pants. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a dumb question. There's no point to it. The dog would probably sniff your pants. But Katy Perry said to stop terrorism, you have to open your borders and have love, right? Open your borders and have love. And that's going to stop terrorism. Open borders and love stops terrorism, right? And I'm thinking, these people, you know, they got brains like a pigeon, man. Probably if you took her brain and put it in the pigeon, it would fly backward, right? Katy Perry and people like her who support Hillary Clinton, who support Barack Obama, they are all like little children who are unwise to the world. Like little kids who have never even left their yard, let alone their block, let alone their town. Little kids, you know? Like 4 or 5. And then you try to reason with them. You can't. Because they're little kids. Little tiny kids. And they just want to have this lofty view of, if we love these terrorists, they won't kill us. They don't even get it, you know? They don't get it. She doesn't get it anyway. The guy who was interviewing her looked at her like she was an idiot. He had the right look on his face. He was like this older dude. He looked at her like she was an idiot. Like, probably the biggest idiot he's ever met in his life. Like, you're an idiot. Like, he wanted to just say, he started coughing, like he started to come out of his throat. You're an idiot. Katy Perry, you dumbass. Go take your top off and make another album, you know? Go pose naked on your album, Salt Kid, dumbass. Who even listens to her music? I couldn't name one song. I know she's out there with her boobs, you know? I guess boobs sell albums. So Katy Perry is no stranger to boob sales. But these are the people, they're limousine liberals. Katy Perry's got bodyguards around her with guns. You try to get close to Katy Perry, they're going to put a gun, a Glock up your ass and pull the trigger. She's not into love and no borders. She has a huge wall around her mansion. Huge wall. Only Bill Clinton can get in, I guess. Bill Clinton can slither over the wall. When they were campaigning together, Bill Clinton was looking at her like she was a candy store, and he was like, kid without candy. Man, oh, man. Horny old man. Ugh. But, so she lives behind a wall. She has all these guns around her. Here, Mark Zuckerberg tells the same tale. Open the border. It's all about love. Yeah, sure. It's easy for you to say. With walls around your house. As a matter of fact, in Hawaii, he is suing over a couple of hundred people for their native lands that were given to them by the state of Hawaii because he doesn't want any neighbors for his big spread in Hawaii, right? and he wants a huge wall. He wants all the beach to himself. This is a guy who says there should be a socialized pay system in America, and no borders. Let down the walls. And who is he? He's a guy who had an idea, made Facebook. Now he's a billionaire. You know, it doesn't make him any better than anybody else. Doesn't make him any worse than anybody else. But it doesn't make his ideas any good either, you know? But if he has those ideas that he should give up all his wealth, he should live with the people in a normal house, on a normal street, in a normal neighborhood, you know? Live with black people, live with Spanish people, you know what I mean? Live with Chinese people, live with all kinds of other Asians. Why not? There's all kinds of people out there you can live with. You don't have to live behind a wall with 32 security guards, armed security guards. 32. President doesn't have that many at any given time. So these guys have bodyguards with guns. Some of them have their own guns. Chuck Schumer, senator from New York, Democrat, very outspoken against Trump, very supportive of gun laws and getting rid of guns, even though he has one. So in his view, nobody can have guns but me. And that's these people, and that's these liberals for the most part. And that's extremists too. But from the liberals, the stuff I've seen has just been like dealing with little kids, like dealing with a goddamn four-year-old. And it's frustrating because you try to teach them things, you try to show them things, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it because the people that they follow, that they respect, are leading them, they're sheeple and they're blind, and they're leading them down the path. Hillary Clinton saying that she's in the resist movement is the wolf biting the sheep. You get it? I don't know, man. So look what happened today. When we talk about last week and even during the week about hackers, I said the hackers are going to start hacking into more important systems and causing more damage, more destruction, maybe even kill people, right? British Airways goes down today, canceled all flights out of Gatwick and Heathrow, two very busy airports. And then at first they say they weren't hacked, but it turns out that they were. So another attack, right? And it comes down to this. At some point, they're going to hack into a plane and bring it down, maybe smash into a building, right? At some point, they're going to hack into electrical systems, grids, and shut them down. They try all the time. It's like this. You know what security is? Cybersecurity. You are the bait. You are the piece of meat. They are the piranha. There's a lot more of them than there are of you, and they're constantly trying to get in. In India, in China, in Russia, and even in America, there are rooms of people, boiler rooms they're called, full of people who get paid a lot of money to hack into people's bank accounts, into their systems, into their stuff. They nibble. They'll take, you know, a service charge out of your bank account every month of $1, $2. Most people don't even look at their statement like that, or they'll see, oh, service charge $1. And if your bank's not looking out for this kind of suspicious activity, then you're screwed because they'll take that dollar a month out of your bank account. So yeah, you'll lose $12 a year. But you do that to 10 million people, they're getting $10 million a month, right? And that's the deal with phishing scams. That's the deal with nibbling. That's the deal with cybersecurity. So who got hit? Chipotle. Chipotle restaurants, United States of America and all over, Chipotle, right? So 99% of the restaurants lost their customer data taken. So this is going to piss you off, and you probably don't know this. You go to Chipotle, use your credit card, they're going to keep it on file for 2 to 3 years. Home Depot does it, Lowe's does it, most of these companies do it, sometimes up to 5 years. And then there's a movement going on to make it illegal for them to do that or not keep the numbers of the card. But if you smash their system and you get in, you can download all that data. People's, all right, so I have your name, I've got your address. I've got your credit card number, and that's all that I need. And I can get all kinds of stuff. If I have your name and your Social Security card number and things like that, I only need about 3 bits of information. I could take a mortgage out in your name. I could take a mortgage out, sell the house. You're responsible for the mortgage. I make my money. I could buy gold all day long online and charge your credit cards and charge your bank account. I could download all the money you have in the bank. Everything. And you're not going to get it back. You know, especially if it's offshore download. You know what I mean? So it's a scary, scary world, because the companies out there that are the financial data companies, they're not willing to protect you. Instead, you know what they'll tell you? Go to LifeLock. You know, go to the third party that you have to hire and pay monthly to examine your bank account to make sure nothing funky is going on, nothing weird is going on, and look at your purchases. You know, banks should be doing that automatically. That should be a service for the bank. You're in that industry, the technology's changed, then you need to do that for people. You owe people, right? And when it comes to me and spending, man, I spend cash. Cash, cash, cash. Sometimes I go into a place and whip out cash, the person behind the counter looks like they never even saw it before. What's that? Paper. Paper money. Take it. They sniff it. Scratch at it. Look at it. All weird. That's called the president on there. That's right. Unless you got one of those Sacagawea coins. You want to screw somebody up? I did that. They had these coins. They're actually Susan B. Anthony dollars, you know, and they were giving them out in the city. Like, all right, I lived on Long Island. You take the train into Manhattan. You buy your ticket. You take the train. You're in Penn Station. On the way home, same. You buy your ticket, unless you buy a round-trip ticket, whatever. I didn't usually buy round-trip tickets because I didn't usually know where I was going to end up and what train I was going to be on to get the hell out of there, or if I was just going to get some other form of transportation, whatever. Anyway. So then I was, like, leaving, and back then the tickets weren't all that much. I paid with 20. This guy hit me off with, like 14 Susan B. Anthony dollars for change. And they're coins, you know. I'm like, what the F do I want with this, man? You know what I mean? Like, you give me money. It can be singles, at least. And the guy's like, no, you must take this. All right. I'm not going to argue with you. They were twitchy back then, man. There was these gasoline robbers that were going around. Because these guys are in a booth, a metal booth. So these guys, gasoline robbers, would, like, have, like, this enema bag full of gasoline. And they're, like, they'd squirt it inside the booth and splash the dude and whip out a match and be like, give me all your money, I'm going to, like, light you up. So that was going on at the time. So these guys were twitchy. They were like, they thought everybody was a suspect, you know. And I was a shady-looking character, like, not like now. You know, not like now. So, and plus I'm 6'5", so I'm kind of big and, you know, like a big dude, like a linebacker. I got wide shoulders. I'm a big dude, you know, big bone, you know what I mean? Big, scary. And I'm outgoing, and I have a lot of presence, I guess. So it scares the piss out of most people, which I like. I use it to my advantage. You know, people get out of my way when I'm walking through somewhere, and they don't mess with me as much, which is nice. So, all right, I'm like, whatever. I took the Susan B. Anthony dollars. I had them in my pocket. Took the train home. My car was at the train station. Got in the car. I tossed them all in my center console. I'm like, ugh. Because they're heavy. You don't want to have, like, a pocket of Susan B. Anthony dollars. It's ridiculous. So then, the following day, I decided to drive into the city. It was late at night. It was, like, 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And my friends and I wanted to go in there to go get some Chinese food. We used to hang out at the studio. It was my friend's studio, Ultraphonic, in East Meadow. Rich and Jake Ronaldo, man, give them a shout-out, you know? In fact, Rich owns a company called Liquid Soul Productions now. And Jake is always doing stuff, making movies and all kinds of cool stuff. So anyway, they owned the studio. Then we all hung out there and jammed out. I had a band, too. We all jammed. And, you know, we'd lock the doors and jam all day, sometimes for 2 days, you know, 3 days, honestly. And then just chill out. So it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30. And it was actually my idea. I'm like, let's go get some Chinese food. And with no traffic from East Meadow, Long Island, you can get into New York City in like 30 minutes, you know, or less. I mean, if, especially if you haul ass. So we drive into the city. We're chilling, cruising, hanging out. Go to a go to Chinatown where Wu Hops is. Wu Hops, still there. Awesome Chinese food on Mott Street, you know. Got our Chinese food on. Chilling out. I'm leaving the city. And I stopped at this Amoco station that was like right outside the Midtown Tunnel, you know. So I get out, and the guy's like exact change only. I'm like, okay. So I got these Susan B. Anthony dollars, right? So I hit him off with 14 Susan B. Anthony dollars because I didn't want them. He's like, no, I will not take this. This is not American currency. I'm like, it is American currency. Look at it. I look at the back of it. It says United States of America. This is counterfeit money. I buy the police. I'm going to call the police, you idiot. This is honest to goodness money. The freaking guy calls the police. At this point, it's like 5 in the morning. Traffic's already starting to go into the city on the other side. And then in this area that I'm in, it's like surreal because it's just outside the Midtown Tunnel. It's that gas station just to the right, just outside the Midtown Tunnel. At that time, it was the Amoco station. I don't know what the hell it is now. So I'm sitting there. Cops come because we're right by the tunnel, so the police are right there. You know, they're like, what's the problem? I'm like, I'm trying to give this guy Susan B. Anthony dollars, and he won't take them. The cop starts laughing his ass off. And he's like, you know, I got stuck with a bunch, too, and I couldn't get rid of them. And the cop is telling the guy, you must take this money because it's American currency. The guy starts yelling at the cop, it's not, you're a liar. He's a liar. You're both liars. And then the dude slams down this grating and he closes the gas station, man. You know? And my 14 Susan B. Anthony dollars were still in the tray. And that's the deal. That's the problem. That's the problem with hackers. I don't know how the hell it started off. It went from hackers to my gripe of Susan B. Anthony dollars. It's a crazy world that we live in. Now, I'm talking about credit and then using your credit card, using your bank card. Some people want your routing number into your bank account. Don't ever give it to them. And don't give your social security card number to anybody unless you totally have to. And usually you don't have to. You know, when they say, can I have your social security card number? What do you need it for? Well, we want it for our records. For your records. So Chipotle gets hit. Anybody who ever bought their burrito with a credit card, you know, no matter what it is, a bank card at Chipotle, right now these hackers have your information. They have your bank card number. They got your password. They've got your name. They probably have your address. I don't give information to anybody. I was in a store the other day, the tractor store, and I go there like once a month. I go there just to feel like a man. You know what I mean? Isn't that funny? It's like a masculine type of feeling in the tractor store. You know, you don't see a lot of women in the tractor store. If you do, they're wearing like heavy-duty work clothing, and they're like those butchy type of chicks. You know, or they're like a female with a dude. And if you're a guy and you take your woman to the tractor store, that's like a guy taking his woman to the barber shop, you know. It's just some stuff you don't do, and some places you don't take women. But the tractor store, very masculine. A lot of big tools, very strong, very powerful. You know, masculine type stuff. Rat poison, things like that. Whips, man, they got tons of whips. I got both of my whips on the tractor store. Right there. You know what I mean? If you have a horse, I don't know. But I'm just saying that it's a variety store. There's a lot of stuff that's a good thing. And you can buy your woman a nice shirt or a boot. They have awesome, like, cowboy boots. How sexy is a woman in cowboy boots? Really? Awesome. So, I go to the tractor store, I'm checking out, and she's like, can I have your email? I'm like, for what? We want it for our records. I'm like, no. I said, I get enough crap email from people. Believe me, you're not going to send me anything that I'm going to want. So I don't need to give you my telephone number, my email. I don't have your card. I don't know when a store card. No, I don't want to. I never save any money anyway on those stupid things, you know? So, but the problem is, in our world, is that we rely too much on computers. And And when they go down, we're screwed. And now people are, like, really out of it, man. You know, when people lose their computer for a day or their internet, they start breaking into a cold sweat. And then I'm thinking, what'd you do back in the day? You know, I mean, these young people today, especially millennials, they don't know a life without a screen. They've lived their whole life on a screen and with a screen, and then they're not going to get past that. If the screen gets taken away, they're going to melt down. They'll just go sit in the corner and sweat. They won't know what to do. Me, I'll laugh at that. I laugh. Laugh at you. You take away screen. I don't care. Bring on the apocalypse, man. I have spaghetti. I have sauce. I have cheese. I got some powdered milk and some coffee. You know what? I can live on all that. I live in an agricultural community full of college girls and college people. And it is you know what? It's isolated with hills, with whatever, man. Roads. There's only a couple of roads that go in and out of here. So I'm not worried about the apocalypse, man. Bring it on. You take away the internet, I don't care. It is more stressful than anything. We will still be broadcasting some way, somehow, out there. I have a generator, man. I got a bunker, baby. I'll sit there, crank everything up. I'm broadcasting. That's the deal. But don't be surprised when these guys start really affecting people. And I'll tell you, it's easy to hack into cars. It is easy to hack into, you know, the FBI got hacked, and they're denying it. Since I'm in the industry, I get all these notifications, you know, so I get them first before anybody, or, you know, professionals get them first, put it that way. And then, FBI was hacked again. Yeah, oh, Chipotle. Yeah. Now everybody's got their information, man. I go to Chipotle. Honestly, I haven't gone there since the E. coli thing because it just scares me, man. I don't want to eat a burrito and then literally have it damage me. You know, I can make my own burrito, honestly. But when I see things like that and these huge companies get hit, you know, people lose their data, lose their information. God only knows what people are doing with that information. So if you're out there and you're waiting for a British Airways flight and the system's down, I know they said they weren't going to resume until, you know, at night. There's a 6-hour difference from where I am, Eastern time. So think about that. All those people inconvenienced, all those people stuck, all those people can't go. And then that's just one way of attacking somebody. They're on high alert as it is for terror. I feel like something terrible is going to happen tonight, Saturday night. You know, I mean, I feel it in my gut. Maybe it's that Chipotle. I feel it in my gut, you know. And then I see Macron. You know, Macron was very disrespectful to Donald Trump. And then, you know, he grabbed Trump's little hand and crushed it, which is, you know, Trump's a 70-year-old man. 70-year-old man. Macron's 36. He 39. He actually showed his age. You know, and Macron and Trudeau got together and had a little bromance going on. But he was really rude to Trump. And that's like, you know, France needs us. France has a huge problem with unemployment. They have a huge problem with riots going on. They have all these people that they treated like dirt, these black people that they took from Africa especially, and gave them citizenship because they wanted doormen, they wanted drivers, they wanted people to clean the streets. Now these same people want to be doctors and lawyers, and France doesn't want that. So France is classist. France is elitist. France is against the working person. France only likes it when they submit to you. Now, Macron's in there, let me tell you, open borders and have a mentality like him, and then, I don't know, man, it's a recipe for disaster. So I would avoid France, and I don't think they're such a great friend. And they're looking at us for millions of dollars, and billions of dollars, I should say. So is Germany. Billions of dollars looking at us, right? And then, man, they have problems. So, and he only got in because there was nobody else good running, and they didn't like Le Pen, much like how Trump got in. If the Democrats actually had pulled a better candidate out of their butt, but Hillary Clinton, they probably would have won. But who knows, man? Anyway, I'm going to end the show. Been lovely talking to you, man. Have a great weekend. Look over your shoulder. If you see something suspicious, report it. If you feel something in your soul, something's wrong, report it. And if you're in doubt, get out, right? If you feel like something is not good, then get out of there, because you got to trust that intuition, trust that inner feeling, trust that inner vibration. You know, we all have that vibration, and we can all receive it on different, we're sensitive at different levels, but you got to trust yourself. And just be careful out there, no matter where you are. You know, join the festivities, go to those fireworks, go to those barbecues, go to the park, go to the theater, go to those concerts. Don't be afraid. But we need to defeat mentality, the ideology, the mentality. We need to defeat it, right? And that's all there is to it. This is Michael Angley on United Public Radio Network, UPRN Talk Radio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 at Paz Christiane.